This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Let's talk stand your ground. There was a case in Florida where an argument over the use of a disabled parking spot ended up with a person dead and the shooter not even charged because of Florida's stand your ground law. Let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation is sponsored by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. So, Rob, this starts with a couple, man and his girlfriend and their child. They park in a handicapped spot because the woman says she's feeling tired for whatever reason. And then another man comes out and confronts her about this.
Right. So the man, Michael Draca, walks up to Ms. Jacobs, who's sitting in the car while her boyfriend, Mr. McLaughlin, is in the store with their 5-year-old son. They begin arguing about her parking in the handicapped parking space. Then the boyfriend, Mr. McLaughlin, walks back outside, walks over to Mr. Draca, and shoves him to the ground. From the ground, he pulls out a concealed weapon and shoots Mr. McLaughlin in the chest, and he dies at the hospital.
And he's got a concealed weapons permit, so he's entitled to have that gun, right?
And he has a law that in Florida is called Stand Your Ground, which not only means now he's not being charged with any kind of crime for shooting Mr. McLaughlin, but that he benefits from a change in the law earlier this year in Florida, a change in that same law, which makes it even tougher to prosecute someone who argues they were in fear of bodily harm or death when they use their weapon.
As the law is now written, what does that say in terms of what you have to prove to show this was justified?
What's happened in the law is that the defendant shooter simply has to state that they were in fear of bodily harm. Whereas before, the burden of proof was on the defendant, the shooter, to prove that it was a reasonable fear. Now the burden has been shifted under the state statute, which was amended this year, to the state prosecutor, to the state attorney, who has to provide clear and convincing evidence that the defendant shooter is not entitled to stand your ground immunity. So it's a shift in the burden of proof, and here it probably contributed to the decision not to charge Mr. Draca with anything for shooting Mr. McLaughlin, who apparently was unarmed.
It sounds like that version of the law gives an ordinary citizen the same status as police officers have in Washington State.
Well, it certainly strengthens this form of immunity, because someone can get into a dispute, shoot someone else, and then it's up to the state to prove that it was an unreasonable fear, that there really wasn't a legitimate or reasonable fear of further bodily harm. And notice the test is bodily harm. You don't have to be able to say, hey, I thought I was going to die. You just have to claim that you were going to be the victim of some sort of bodily harm, and then the state has to prove that was unreasonable. It's what in the law is often called the reasonable person test. And that's where juries come in, of course, ultimately, if a prosecutor proceeds. But under this new law, it seems less likely that prosecutors are going to bring these cases. And here, the sheriff didn't even refer the case to the prosecuting attorney for a charge.
Because the law doesn't require that the guy you're protecting yourself against has a gun. All you have to do is say, I was afraid.
Well, that's right. I mean, people can be seriously harmed by someone else who's bigger, stronger, more violent. You don't have to prove the other fellow had any kind of weapon. Just his fists, or apparently just hard shove to the ground, can be enough if the shooter claims that he thought there was more harm coming. The sheriff here said in a press conference, quote, this was a violent push. This wasn't a shove. This wasn't just a tap. So that was apparently enough to convince the sheriff not to refer Mr. Jacobs for charges.
So, Rob, what do you think about this as a former prosecutor? The idea behind these laws is it makes everybody safer. What do you think?
The problem that I see with these laws, at least as they're written in Florida, I mean, first of all, no one questions the right of self-defense.
Right.
But we have a higher standard for that here. And it's a reasonably high standard where, for example, you can't wait for the burglar to leave your house, chase him down the sidewalk and shoot him in the back, because you can't prove that you were still in fear of your life at that point. On the other hand, you can shoot someone who's inside your house. That's a reasonable test. Here, we're talking about a standard that allows two people who get into an altercation to escalate it. And the fact that this fellow was carrying his weapon and that he probably was afraid meant he decided to use it. And I can't tell you that he decided to use it because he knew this law would allow him to avoid charges. That would require getting inside his head. But it seems to me it probably does create an environment where it is likelier that altercations are going to escalate into shootings where one of the parties or or maybe both, are carrying a concealed weapon. Concealed weapons are legitimate exercise of the Second Amendment, but when you add that to this very strong presumption that the shooter was always right until proven otherwise, it seems to me it's going to result in more incidents.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.